ability to see. He has all sorts of wisdom. That's why sometimes it's you look into a baby's eyes. There's something very, very unusual in a baby's eyes.
A person who has prophecy and doesn't say it is hypnism.
That's correct. But Hashem doesn't want the baby to give you a message. He doesn't want your 2-year-old to tell you, what's going to happen. But until he knows. Now, so there actually is a concept that until a child is verbal, there's a certain ruach hakodesh or ruach nevuah that the child has that is nistalik, that leaves as soon as he gets the power of speech. Okay.
Well, if you never teach him how to speak.
Huh?
Or if you never teach him how to speak.
Well, then it may stay with him, but on the other hand, he's not going to be able to tell you anything.
Right, it does.
Yeah, but that's crazy. You're supposed to teach your child how to speak because you have to teach your child Torah.
You know, I was
Rhetorical
question.
Now, by the way, there was an experiment, King James of England, he is the guy who commissioned the translation of the Bible, the King James Bible. So King James had a theory that if you never taught a child how to talk, they would naturally know Hebrew, because Hebrew was the divine language. So he had a theory, if you locked up a kid and never spoke to him, he would know Hebrew. So story has it, he took like 12 kids. He locked them up in the Tower of London, he fed them, but he didn't allow anyone to talk to them. And he wanted to think that by 2 years old they would speak Hebrew, but it didn't work. And unfortunately, I think the way human beings are, if they're not exposed to speech, in the first 2 years, like a deaf person gets better. It's very, very hard. You can never really speak normally again. That was a human experimentation in the days when it was permitted. Today, we don't do those things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now then it goes on with the wisdom. This is back in Parashat, and it says, wisdom builds her house with 7 strong pillars. A house that is standing on 7 pillars. What is the 7 pillars? So Rashi brings that the 7 pillars refer to the 7 chumashim of the Torah. You'll ask Kasha, 7 chumashim of the Torah? There are 5 chumashim of the Torah. So Rashi says, no, there's actually 7 chumashim. Because the book of Bamidbar, number 4, which we finish today, is divided into 3 chumashim. So we have Bereshis, we have Shmos, we have Vayikra. Bamidbar is 3. I'll give you the division in a moment. That's 6. And Devarim is number 7. And the 7 chumashim mirror the 7 days of creation, that just as the spiritual Torah is 7, the physical world was made in 7. Now, what are the 3 divisions of the Book of Bamidbar?
It's funny because the rabbi was giving a mashal today.
Yeah.
And he was saying something very much like that. It says in the first pasuk of Maaseh that... Sorry. But he says in the first pasuk that it divides everything up into 3. And by doing so, it shows that there are 3. It says, "Ela maaseh b'nei Yisrael, asher yatzu min eretz Mitzrayim, b'tzibotam b'yad Moshe v'Aaron, v'yichtov Moshe et motzaeihem l'maaseihem, al pi Hashem v'ela maaseihem l'motzaeihem, v'yisu." I'm sorry, it says in Pasuk Bet that, but twice, Motzeihem,
right.
And so he was explaining how that this was actually 3 reasons why Bnei Israel, one leaving from Mitzrayim and then one leaving, then going to Eretz Israel. Because
so there's a reason for the leaving and a reason for the going.
Yeah, and then also a reason for being forced to go. So it's 3 reasons, so it would make sense why it would be divided into 3.
So in Bamidbar, it's a very, very unequal division. The first part of Bamidbar is 2.5 parshios. Parshios Bamidbar, Naso, and part of Balosa, which takes you up to the time that they're leaving Mount Sinai. And that describes the ideal world, the world of the Mishkan, the world. we recite when we take out the Torah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. Vayhi ben Soa Aram, when the ark was traveling, Moshe Rabbeinu said, scatter all the enemies of the Jewish people. And then the next half of the next third of the book is the rest of the Sefer, which talks about all the Averos, Korach, the Meraglim, and the like. So the three sections are the ideal, is the first section. The third section is the reality. And the two verses are the transition. That is, when you leave Mount Sinai, then you fall into a deep pit.
So it's like the beginning of, so to speak, the Vayhi ben Soa Aram, is when it's like the
beginning of the fall.
It's not only the beginning of the fall, but the beginning of actually everything.
Well, yes, because that's our journey away from Har Sinai. Exactly it. And in fact, it's interesting that in the Torah, the two verses, Vayhi ben Soa Aram, are set off by nuns, extra nuns. And nun represents nephila, falling down. But they're upside down nuns, reverse nuns, as if to say that even though when you leave Mount Sinai, you're going to fall, you can reverse it, you can change it.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to go back to Har Sinai, basically.
That's right. We're journeying away, but we hope to make it a circle and come back. That's right. Okay. So this is why wisdom is called seven pillars. It's the seven pillars of the Torah. Now, we still commonly say five chumashim. That's the common way. If you said seven, somebody would look at you strangely. But in point of fact, Chazal see it as seven chumashim. So it mentions wisdom builds its house with seven pillars. She slaughters the meat. She mixes the wine. Now here's a little bit of interesting grammar I'm going to share with you. The word for mixing wine. Now what is mixing? Well, we don't mix our wine today because our wine is largely pre-mixed. But in the time of the Gemara, wine was very strong. And in order to be able to drink it, we would mix water with the wine, and that made it palatable. In fact, according to halacha, you can mix quite a lot of water. You can mix up to six parts of water to one part of wine. But not in our wine. Our wine's already been watered down. But technically, six to one, we still make Borei Pri Agafen. Optimally, it's 3-1. But again, our wine's already. Now, what's interesting is the word for mixing wine is mascha. Mesach, mascha, is to mix wine. So it's interesting that Taisus Yathin, which is one of the great commentaries on Mishnayos, says that that is the source of the word for a tractate. Right? What is the term for a tractate of Mishnah or Gemara? We call it maseches. Or in Aramaic, masechta, same thing, right? So gittin, right? Whatever is over there, gittin. But the word before the name of the tractate is called maseches, gittin. Tractate of gittin. Maseches bava mitzia, maseches bava kama, maseches brachos. Now maseches means treatise or tractate. Those are the same thing. But in Hebrew, what is the Sharisha? So the Taisus Yomtov says that just like the word Masecha is to mix wine with water, or mix water with wine, so it becomes drinkable, palatable, digestible. So to a Masecha takes an area of halacha and it explains it and elaborates it so you're able to understand it and take it in. Which means
Diluted.
Yeah, diluted, but here's the problem. Diluted in English sounds like a bad thing. So we're not going to say tomorrow is diluted, but we're going to say it becomes palatable, because the wine without the water is not drinkable. So the written Torah without the oral Torah, you don't understand it. So the same way you need the water to be able to drink the wine, you need the oral law, which is the water, to be able to drink and understand the written Torah, the Mishnah. So diluted is not a good word to use here, because diluted would apply superficial. Here is the other way around. It makes it drinkable, it makes it digestible, it makes it absorbable. Otherwise you would not understand the Torah. Okay? So that's why a tractate is called Maseches, and is based on this idea, Miska Yena. And again, this is actually talking about Torah. In fact, allegorically, that's what it even means. It says, the wise woman mixes her wine. Now, the woman is itself Torah, meaning the wine of Torah is mixed with the water of the original Tam. That makes it palatable and drinkable. And indeed, that's what the book of God says. That the written Torah is called wine, the oral Torah is called water, and the mixing of the water and wine makes the written Torah understandable, absorbable into my mind and my life. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. That's always the case, but often the Gemara will often ask, why do I need a pasuk? I would know this logic.
Or it applies mostly to me as well. So like, I thought of you as this mishra because we would like it not so far.
I would apply it personally, but not for me to be inspired, right?
Good. I don't see the mark.